Hello, and welcome to episode 86 of the Reconomy podcast, where we discuss economic issues that impact real estate, housing, and affordability. I am Odetta Kushi, Deputy Chief Economist at First American, and here with me is Mark Fleming, Chief Economist at First American. Now, in today's episode, we're going to attempt to answer the question, what is the outlook for existing home sales?
Hi, Odetta. Outlooks, you say, seem suspiciously like a qualitative forecast instead of the real thing?
Maybe.
Okay, then maybe we should first ask the question, why are they called existing homes? We call new construction homes new homes, and so by rigorous logic, then shouldn't existing homes be called used homes? You know, new car, used car. When you buy a used car, it's not an existing car sale.
You're really asking the tough questions here, Mark. The petition to change existing home sales to used home sales begins here and now. Or maybe we just put a poll out on X.
Well, that's not a bad idea. I suspect there was a bit of good marketing, shall we say, spin involved in the coming up of existing home sales. But let's get back to our main point. Why would we even care about used home sales? I couldn't resist.
Used home sales. Well, I'm going to go back to the original term. Historically, existing home sales have made up a big chunk of overall sales, nearly 90%. The rest is made up of new home sales.
So almost entirely existing sales. What about home inventory?
Very similar story, although there's been a little bit of a divergence since the beginning of the pandemic. From 1990 until February 2020, existing home inventory made up 88% of total inventory. But in the latest data, it's actually closer to 70%.
And I think the reason for that decline in the share of existing and increase in the share of new is twofold. Existing home inventory has been on the decline. Sellers have been on strike recently. So the share of new homes in the inventory would go up even if the actual number were consistent or the same. But the actual number of new homes for sale has also increased. So a twofold effect in the inventory share for new homes.
That's right. Existing homeowners have been staying put while builders have been busy hammering away building new homes.
Indeed. And that reminds me, have we added We Built This City, the 1985 classic by Starship, to the Reconomy playlist yet? The 80s hair is amazing in the video.
Amazing is one way to think about it, but I assume that one has to be on there. Also, way to sneak in that 80s reference.
Had to be done. It's a great song and somewhat related to our industry, so, you know, there we go. Now, back to our topic. Existing home sales are pretty important because in housing, a buyer is usually a seller, and you can't buy what's not for sale.
That's right. And we know that the average tenure length in the U.S. has reached historic highs of approximately 11 years. In February of this year, the average tenure length was over 4% higher compared to 1 year ago. Again, those existing homeowners choosing to stay put because they don't want to give up that pandemic low mortgage rate.
The ever important rate lock-in effect and the fear of not being able to find something to buy. Of course, people will move for other reasons, death, divorce, marriage, relocation, etc. And with it being the start of the spring home buying season, which is when nearly 40% of all existing home sales in a year occur, the warming weather and the end of the academic school year make for a more optimal time to move and fuel the seasonal increase in housing market activity.
That's right. I mean, we are still seeing existing home sales happen, just not very many. According to the January NAR number, there were 4 million existing home sales. That's a seasonally adjusted annualized rate. Now, that is below the pre-pandemic historical average of nearly 5 million home sales.
Yes, but what about when we account for the size of the market?
That's a really good point. Existing home sales of 5 million means something different in 1990 versus 2000 versus today because the size of the market has increased. So when we look at existing home sales as a percentage of total households, the pre-pandemic historical average going back to 1990 was 4.4% of homes sold in a year. In early 2024, it's been around 3%.
That's certainly quite low, and I think we've highlighted why existing home sales are so important to the housing industry and even discussed one reason why they've been muted in today's market. But I think it's about time we get to that outlook part of the discussion, don't you?
I think so, and luckily, I have a report that should help us answer our question.
Planned? Not planned transition? What a coincidence!
What a coincidence indeed. Our new Existing Home Sales Outlook report now casts existing home sales based on the historical relationship between sales demographic trends, house buying power, and the prevailing financial and economic conditions. Now, we're recording this episode in mid-March, which means our analysis for February existing home sales is out. That's on our econ center, firstam.com/economics. But rather than focus on the actual numbers predicted for February, I want to focus on the various drivers of existing home sales that we include in this model. So we'll just use our February report to sort of frame that discussion.
Well, we can certainly at least mention that our prediction for February was a very, very modest rise from January. Not such a feat since January was pretty darn low, but at least it got better and not worse. And that was driven by...
Drumroll, please.
Oh, specifically the one from the intro to We Built This City.
Now an eye roll, and I think all listeners need to maybe look up the music video and listen to the song at this point.
Easily found on YouTube.
Easily found. So there were four drivers of the very modest increase. Increasing household formation and credit availability, as well as strong economic conditions, all boosted our now cast for existing home sales in February. But the biggest reason was a narrowing mortgage rate spread.
This sounds like some really good news, because obviously we've been talking about the fact that that spread has been elevated for the last year to year and a half. A narrowing of the spread between the average 30-year fixed mortgage rate and the effective rate of interest on mortgage debt outstanding has fueled an increase in the projected monthly change in existing home sales. However, the majority of existing homeowners still remain rate locked in because the effect hasn't really changed a lot yet. You can't buy what's not for sale, and even with the narrower mortgage rate spread, existing homeowners still aren't selling.
Yeah, and you know, the other drivers we mentioned are also important. Most people take out a mortgage when they buy a home, so loosening credit conditions allow more people to buy.
And I think household formation is the other one you mentioned. When individuals form new households, whether through young adults moving out of their parents' homes, couples moving in together, or individuals deciding to live on their own, they create demand for additional housing. This demand can be for either purchasing a home or renting properties, but either way, more shelter demand drives higher sales activity.
And we also mention economic conditions, which is generally referring to the health of the economy. Typically, a strong economy is important when people are making the biggest financial decision of their life, that is, buying a home.
Sometimes people are pretty sensible, and it's definitely important. Were there any factors that contributed negatively to the outlook for existing home sales?
Well, in February, mortgage rates actually picked up a bit, which means that there was a decline in house buying power. Declining affordability, all else held equal, puts downward pressure on home sales.
That also makes a lot of sense.
Very sensible. So that was just a one-month example of how we're thinking about the outlook for existing home sales. It's also important to look at leading indicators such as mortgage applications and pending home sales.
Of those two, mortgage applications are weekly, so we have a more timely view of the market. And so far in March, purchase mortgage applications have increased compared with February. So we're seeing an increase in activity, albeit modest, possibly a good indication for our March nowcast.
So what do we think the rest of the year will bring for existing home sales?
Well, as any good economist would say, that of course depends. And it depends on monetary policy, which depends on the economy, labor market, and inflation.
Please do elaborate.
It seems like we've been talking about those things a lot recently.
Yeah, I think so.
As I'm sure everyone is aware, inflation has been a little more persistent so far this year than we had all hoped, and the labor market and economy continue to remain strong, which in this topsy-turvy world is not so good when it comes to inflation. Still too good for the Fed's liking, and that means the Federal Reserve is in no rush to cut interest rates.
And the market is beginning to adjust their expectations accordingly. At the end of December 2023, the overwhelming majority of the market expected between 6 to 7 rate cuts this year, twice as much as the Fed's own forecasts anticipated. This has changed meaningfully since then. Now the market is expecting rate cuts to start in June of this year, and that we will end the year with maybe 3 to 4 25 basis point rate cuts. But what does all that mean for existing home sales?
Well, it means that we likely won't see rate cuts resulting in mortgage rate declines in time for the spring home buying season. Punxsutawney Phil didn't see his shadow, so spring should come early, but the Fed still sees shadows of inflation. But we could see mortgage rates steadily decline in the second half of the year, which bodes well for the housing market. Lower mortgage rates boost house buying power for potential buyers and reduce the lock-in effect for sellers.
Now, speaking of the rate lock-in effect, we've brought it up a couple of times on this episode. You recently sent me a paper, a pretty new paper. It's from October of last year. It's titled Mortgage Lock-In, Mobility, and Labor Reallocation. And the paper findings are very interesting and have some implications that are important to the question we're trying to answer today. The paper basically explores how homeowners' mobility changes as the difference between the market mortgage rate and their current respective mortgage rate increases. And I think one of the most relevant findings from the paper is that the relationship between the change in mortgage rates and the rate at which people move flattens at about 180 basis points. In other words, wider rate differences don't really impact the likelihood of moving.
It's kind of like enough is enough. It's just big. I'm not doing it, right?
Right.
Well, what's the effective rate of interest on mortgage debt outstanding right now? In other words, sort of an average rate for those with mortgages.
So as of Q4 2023, it was 3.8% according to the Bureau of Economic Analysis.
And that would mean, according to this research, we add that 1%, 1.8 percentage points to the 3.8. That means the lock-in effect will persist until mortgage rates drop to below somewhere around 5.6%. And we're not necessarily expecting rates to go that low this year.
True. It's not impossible, but it's certainly not our base scenario. We believe the majority of homeowners will still be rate locked in this year, which will hold back existing home sales. However, it is possible for mortgage rates to reach 5.6% in 2025. In fact, I just checked a few industry forecasts, and it seems the average consensus mortgage rate forecast for 2025 is about 5.7%.
There we go. So we just have to be a little more patient. That's why we keep saying that 2024 for the existing home sales market will be not too pandemic hot, not too 2023 cold, but not quite right yet. We will see activity pick up if mortgage rates decline in the second half of the year, but it may take until 2025 before we see real normalization.
All right. I'm going to say it.
Please don't. Not at the end.
I have to. This outlook is assuming we don't have a recession or a reacceleration in inflation or, you know, another global pandemic.
All right. We get it. Lots of things can go wrong. Ever the pessimist.
I believe my official designation is dismal scientist.
Agreed.
All right, well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Reconomy Podcast. If you have an economics-related question you'd like us to feature in the future, you can email us at economics@firstam.com. And as always, if you can't wait for the next episode, you can follow us on X. It's at Odetta Kushi for me and at M Fleming Econ for Mark. Until next time.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed this episode of the Reconomy Podcast from First American. We're pleased to offer you even more economic content at firstam.com/economics. This episode is copyright 2024 by First American Financial Corporation. All rights reserved.